We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Grinders, hey, it's the flagship show. It's Grinders Live here on Roto Grinders, and Dean apparently I think he's at Costco. It's what I have to do. What he normally, it's 5:30 Eastern, it's 2:30 Pacific, and it's 4:30 in the Costco that Dean's shopping at right now. I guess he put me in charge, so who knows what's going to happen. But this is Grinders Live. I'm Jordan Cooper, aka Blenderhead, the man with the vomit stacks. Trust me, I got a couple today, maybe one or two. And I'm joined in an intimate setting, two-man booth today, with the proprietor of the Bat and the Bat X, which means it has to be cooler, because that's what you usually did. You put X or 2000 on something, it sounds cooler.
I mean,
it's
X sounds cooler, so I had to brand it that way. So yeah, the Bat X, let's go.
Are you going to come up with the Bat Y for women?
You know what? You never know. You never know. Got to keep people on their toes.
So we got an 11-game slate tonight. No games canceled yet. No COVID scares. I think everyone is playing today. The main thing that we have to look at weather-wise, we have Roth's weather report. The only game that we have to worry about is Washington at Atlanta. I mean, he put some notes here. There are some wildfires in California. I don't think it's going to affect anything. In the Coors game, storms possible early, but it's a yellow. Coors is going to happen. The main issue with the Nationals and the Braves is that there's going to be a downpour, but it's going to be before the game, probably before first pitch. And then the storms will probably clear out. So it's Roth is saying that it's probably just going to be a late start. The game should be fine, but he wouldn't call it the safe play. And that's going to be a big part of tuning into Crunch Time. If you're a premium member, rotogrinders.com/premium member, /premium, 6:30. We got cheese. We got STL cards. We got Roth Crunch Time for premium members through the RG app, through the RG site. So sign up for that. He'll have a much more detailed weather forecast on the Nationals Braves game, but that is a game that I'm looking to target. So I'm hoping that it gets announced as a rain delay or a late start, before lock, which reduces its ownership. But I'm kind of treating it as it's going to play when we talk about it. But you're not playing any pitchers in the game, so you don't have to worry about that. But pitcher-wise on this slate, it's not a bad pitching slate. We actually get one of these slates that have good pitchers. But even though we have a bunch of good pitchers, I think a lot of ownership is going to be focused on four of them. Would you agree?
I would. I think there's four pitchers that you're considering for your cash games. One of them I'm not considering as much as I guess some other people maybe are, but I think there's four that you're pretty safe to go with. And if you're playing anyone else in cash games, you're doing it wrong.
Okay. So the four that we're talking about, it's going to be two at the high end. one in the mid range and one really cheap guy. So let's talk about the top range. That would be Gerrit Cole or Jacob deGrom. Most likely, in cash games, you're not playing both of them.
No.
You could play both of them with the vomit stack in GPP. Yeah. You can. I don't think you could necessarily go wrong with either, but I think I would favor Cole slightly over deGrom, even though Cole's obviously pitching in Yankee Stadium, which is a better ballpark for hitters than Miami. But Tampa Bay strikes out at a high rate compared to Miami, and I think Cole has better strikeout stuff than deGrom. DeGrom has this itch, who knows, with his blister or something. Maybe he had blister problems. I don't think that's necessarily a worry. I think they're both going to be owned enough. I think Cole may be. We have Jimeno's ownership projections have Cole at 33%, DeGrom at 23%. So it's not like if you're I'm going to play DeGrom instead of Cole. You're not gaining that much leverage by doing so. But if you had to choose between the two, I'm going with Cole, but would you say DeGrom is a better play?
I think it's kind of a toss-up. I think the $800 savings on Cole definitely makes a difference. I'd say DeGrom's probably the better play in a vacuum, but play whichever one works with your team. You're not wrong.
Oh, play whoever you want.
Whoever you want is exactly what you should do. Yeah.
But there's no reason to necessarily – are you concerned about DeGrom – you know, he missed his last start.
He had like neck stiffness or something. You know, he only missed, it's not even like he missed a full turn in the rotation. He pitched like 10 days ago or something like that. So maybe he has like a slightly shorter leash, but it's not anything that I'm overly concerned about. He's in the better park, like you said, he's against the worse offense. But the thing that I think makes Cole in this conversation and potentially the right play is that strikeout difference. So I really think you can go either way. Play whoever you want.
Okay. Mid-range is going to be a very popular pitcher. He's going to be the highest-owned pitcher on the slate.
That's the part that blows my mind, that he's going to be the highest-owned pitcher on the slate.
You don't think that he should be?
I think he's great. I think he's underpriced.
Let's tell the viewers who it is.
It's Chris Paddock, right?
Okay. What, he's facing Texas in San Diego. He's probably $1,500 underpriced here. He's been pitching almost 100 pitches, so we don't necessarily have to worry about his leash that much. But in the mid-range, like, who else would you be playing?
I wouldn't be, but that's – and again, it's very slate-specific because we have these two aces at the top that are awesome. We have this cheap guy that I think is just like a stone lock. And so, like, I don't know. I guess for me, I have a hard time fading this cheap guy that we're going to get to. I don't think you go mid-tier cheap guy. I don't think that works. I just think lineup construction-wise, at least in cash games, Paddock doesn't make sense because I want to pay for cores. So I want to play this cheap guy. But if I play him and Paddock, it leaves me too much money. Like expensive cheap just makes more sense today, I think.
Ryan, the cheap guy that we're talking about, what is a Dane Dunning?
Dane Dunning is actually like a semi-prospect. He got injured. He's coming off Tommy John surgery. But he projects as like a league average pitcher. And he's in a good matchup. And it sounds like he should get a good amount of leash. And he's 4.5K. If you have a league average pitcher against the Detroit Tigers for 4.5K, I don't understand how he's not the most high-owned pitcher on this slate. Like last night, whatever his name was, Dylan Cease, who projects baseline as like the same guy. He projects as like a league average pitcher, was against the Tigers. He costs like 8.5K and he was 50% owned. So like why at 4.5K is this guy not going to be the Uber chalk?
You have his projected pitch count at 90?
Yeah.
So, I mean, is the range of his pitch count wider? Because like Paddock, like if he's doing well, you have his PPC at 94 in the bat, which that seems like a good median. But do you think 90? Do you think Dunning, if he gets into a little bit of trouble, like only pitches 70? I mean, I don't see him coming out and pitching 110 or anything.
No, neither.
But I mean, 4,500. Even if you told me he was pitching 70 pitches, still ain't a bad play. I'm just concerned to some extent that if I'm playing like cheap stacks, if I'm fading cores, I may not need Dunning. And if Dunning comes out and pitches, you know, 70 pitches, strikes out two and gives up two runs, like, and gives me 10 points, it's not something that I would necessarily have to have in GPP. But I could understand totally playing Cole and Dunning in cash games. And I could totally see not playing Dunning and playing Cole and Paddock, and just, you're going to be fading one or two Coors bats, and you better hope that they don't do well in cash games. But we do have cheap hitters. But I think that, I think we're on the chalk build. I think DeGrom or Cole plus Dunning and some Coors versus the top two and Paddock with maybe one Coors bat, or you may have Paddock plus Dunning and then Coors stacks. So if you're playing those types of lineups in large field GPPs, consider where you should pivot from that, from a leverage perspective. But I think I would agree with you that in cash games, if you're going to play multiple Coors bats, I think you just take the $4,500 pitcher.
Yeah, that's where I'm leaning. It's not like I dislike Paddock. On a different slate, he'd be a complete lock. It's just we have these four really good options today, and you can only play two of them. So, I mean, it's not bad to play Paddock. I'll take the savings.
Right, but I don't think in cash games we're going to see Paddock Dunning. I think it's more likely that people don't play Dunning. They play Cole and Paddock or DeGrom and Paddock and then find a couple of cheap bats. And we do have some cheap bats.
We do.
To fill out your lineup.
And maybe, I mean, at the start of the day, I didn't expect people to take that approach. I thought they would take Dunning and an expensive guy. Maybe that's not what they do. I think that's where the best value is, but you can certainly go, you know, Cole Paddock or something like that.
Yeah, I think it's just more of the unknown. Like you just look at Dane Dunning and you go, I don't, if you're not tuned into Roto Grinders or you don't have any projections, like you may look at him and go, oh, there's some, no history, there's no game log. He comes out, pitches three innings for 50 pitches, and why am I playing him?
That would be bad. They did say, though, a couple weeks ago, they kind of asked the manager, like, you know, when's Dunning coming up? He's like, you know, he's not really stretched out yet. Like, we don't want to bring him up. We could bring him up. He'll throw 45 pitches or three innings. And he's like, but we don't want to do that. So, like, they left him kind of at their, whatever it's called, extended camp or whatever. And he kind of built himself up. You know, they said when they called him up, you know, today or yesterday, that, you know, they're bringing him up with the intention of letting him pitch. Again, I don't think he's going 110 pitches, but I would be surprised if he gets pulled at 50 unless he's just getting completely shelled.
If people are talking about Dunning is not on FanDuel, but FanDuel, you're only playing one pitcher. So, I mean,
right. He wouldn't really be in play anyway on FanDuel.
Right. I think you're only playing two pitchers on FanDuel for cash games. You're either paying up for Cole or DeGrom. DeGrom's actually 200 cheaper on FanDuel. Or you're playing Paddock at 8,100. But I don't even know if you have to do that. FanDuel has enough cheap bats that on a one-pitcher site, just play Cole DeGrom, lock in your 40 to 50 points, and move on with your day.
Yeah, I think that makes the most sense. You're not getting that steep discount that you are on Paddock. The pricing's a lot softer over there. Cole or DeGrom is the way to go. Probably DeGrom, I think.
On the other side of Dunning, what's a Casey Mize?
Casey Mize is one of the better pitching prospects in the game. The problem is that he has very little experience at the upper levels. His minor league numbers are very mediocre. The White Sox the Tigers have said that they're going to kind of ease these guys in. Like we saw yesterday, the guy, I forget who it was already, Scooble or whatever. You know, he didn't go very deep. Mize should go deeper than him, but I do think there are legitimate leash concerns with Mize, less so than with Dunning, I think.
Right, because you have his PPCs at like 83, 82, yeah. And he's also 6,900. You're not getting 4,500 Dunning. So if those were the chalk pitchers, if Paddock's going to be 42% owned, and Lopez is going to be 9% owned, 500 cheaper. Like, how often does Paddock beat Lopez that he should be 4.5 times more popular
not four and a half times more often. Like, I love Lopez today as a GPP guy. I love Lopez in general. There's a lot of slates where I'd be playing Lopez in this spot. We just have so much pitching in cash games. But in GPPs, Lopez is a phenomenal play.
Right. I think if Paddock wasn't on the slate, Lopez would be the one with 40% ownership.
He might be. I mean, he's a good pitcher. Like, the bat was all over him last year when he was cheap. He was great. He's in Marlins Park. He's against a Mets offense that, you know, is okay, but they're really not that scary. Lopez at 7,200 is an awesome GPP play if he's going to come in that low owned, which I expect he will.
Another way to go in that type of range, it's a little bit more expensive. On the other side of the game from Paddock is Lance Lynn, 9,200 against San Diego. They have strikeouts. They also have power. San Diego's a good ballpark for pitchers. Lance Lynn probably has the longest leash of anyone on this slate. I mean, he could pitch 115 pitches. He's 9,200. Coming in at 10% owned on DraftKings, he'll probably be even much lower owned on FanDuel at 9,700. To me, I think Lance Lynn, if you're going to play Lance Lynn on FanDuel and GPP, you're playing him because you're betting on the outcome that DeGrom and Cole both fail. Not get shelled or anything, just that Lynn puts up 45 and DeGrom and Cole put up 40, you know, something like that, where you saved $1,000 and you got a similar score. But on DraftKings, where you have to play two pitchers, like, you could make Cole or DeGrom plus Lynn and still play cheap stacks. Or you could play Lynn instead and play Lynn Paddock, Lynn Lopez, Lynn Dunning, if you're making more expensive stacks. But coming in at 10% ownership, like, I wouldn't be shocked in this spot if Lynn pitched seven innings with eight strikeouts.
No, I mean, like you said, he has one of the longest leashes of any pitcher in baseball. It's probably like him, Bauer, and like, I don't even know who else is up there at this point. Like, he can go very deep, and that, you know, that makes a big difference.
Well, we got Marquez behind the plate there. So,
yeah, that's not ideal. That's the best hitter's umpire in baseball. But,
if Paddock's going to be 42% owned, if he's going to be the highest owned pitcher on the slate, and you want a reason to get off of him, when you have the guy with the lowest, the umpire with the lowest strikeout rate in the majors behind the plate, there's a reason there. I'm more likely in GPP to not play Paddock at all. Like, I may not have a single lineup with Paddock in today at
if
that
owner. Be the highest owned pitcher, I'm fine with that because it's not like he's this stone lock guy. We have other guys who project for the same, you know, amount of like point per dollar value. We have other guys in that range that are not quite as good. But like you said, a guy like Lopez, totally fine. A guy like Patrick Sandoval, I don't even hate today in that range.
No, Sandoval's fine against the Giants. I think the Giants, I like their prices. I like their bat prices. I think I'm more inclined to play Lopez. How about someone like Glasnow? 8,800 on DraftKings. Are we more just concerned that – are you more concerned about the Yankees' bats, or are you more concerned that Glasnow's not going to pitch more than 90 pitches?
I think it's both. I think it's mostly the short leash, the park, and the Yankees' line of business threatening as it is when there's Judge and Stanton and whoever else in there. But it's still a pretty good offense, and the price is really high. So – are you on Glasnow today? He wasn't a guy that I, you know, would really be considering.
On this type of pitching slate, 400 more, you get a guy that's going to throw 25 more pitches, possibly.
Right,
so,
exactly.
I'm looking for upside in GPP. That's why, like, a guy like Julio Urias, why is he 10-1 on DraftKings?
I don't know, but that is really expensive. Over on FanDuel, he's really cheap, and he's only projected at 8% ownership as the fourth highest projected pitcher on the slate at 7.9K. Arias on FanDuel, I think, is really interesting.
Another guy I wanted to talk about, because we may be on opposite sides of this. Lizardo, 8,200. In Oakland, which is a good ballpark for pitchers, he has strikeout upside. The Arizona Diamondbacks only have like a 3.8 implied run total. He's in that price range where Paddock is, 500 more. We have him at 5% owned versus 42% owned. Is Paddock going to outscore Lizardo eight times more often? My answer is no. What is Lizardo I'm on the other side of this, but it's not because of Lizardo. It's because the Diamondbacks bats are like free today.
Yeah, I mean, I love Lizardo in general. He's a guy who in the minors the last couple of years has had that super short leash, has had a really short leash in his outings so far this year. So I worry about his upside unless he's like super efficient. So he wasn't a guy that I was thinking a whole lot about today.
I think the same thing. I could throw him in that kind of a category is Aaron Civale at 9,800. I think on a different type of slate, he'd be more viable at 9,800 against the Pirates. I mean, it's a good matchup. He's shown a little bit more strikeout upside, but it's just that the slate's loaded with pitching. Like Lynn is 600 cheaper. Paddock's cheaper. I think Paddock beats him. Lopez beats him. I think if Civale was 8K, okay, then we could start talking. But, you know, if you're going to play Civale and then try to play Cole or DeGrom, like, you ain't playing Coors, which, yeah. I mean, you guess you can do. But I just don't think Civale at 9,800 has the requisite upside as a pivot, even at 4% though.
He's not a $9,800 pitcher to begin with. It's a bad strikeout matchup. Like, I think he's just an overrated pitcher. So I have no Civale interest.
Lastly, the pitchers and Coors. Bill Miller's the umpire. Do we just play them? Castellani is not for real, right? I mean, this
no.
4,900, it's like, oh, well, he's pitching in Coors, but you take a look at the game logs, and like his hard hit percentage is like his BABIP is low. He's not real, right? He's a fake guy.
No, not real at all. He's one of the worst starting pitchers in baseball. Like, you cannot play Castellani today.
Because he's a pivot off of Dunning.
He's not a good pivot off of Dunning.
No, I agree with you. He's facing the team with the highest implied run total.
Yeah, his mean projection's like 4 points. Like, you just can't do it.
4.64.
You're not playing Castellani today. I know you're not.
No, of course not. No, you know me in GPP. I may get like weird at bats, but typically I'm playing the best projected pitchers usually. Is there anyone else that you wanted to highlight to stand out today that we have not talked about?
I think we kind of covered everyone. You know, on a different slate, maybe we talk about other guys, but I think we kind of covered it.
Okay, so for chalk optimal type constructions, cash games, if you want to call it, DraftKings, FanDuel, I'm going to assume you play one of the two, you play Cole or DeGrom.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming on DraftKings, you're paying up and you're paying down.
Yes, I think so.
But the difference between DeGrom and Cole, if you want it, it's close enough that if you wanted to flip a coin to choose, you wouldn't be crazy to do that.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to tell you you're wrong to play either one of those guys. I don't even know which one I'm going to play right now. Either one is fine.
Let's go over to bats. Okay, I know the pricing on FanDuel and DraftKings are different. Instead of going position by position, let's go by what is the chalk, regardless of the position. I'm going to we have to assume that Coors is going to be chalky. Certain players a little bit more so than others. I'm also going to assume that depending on this weather, we're going to see some cheap Nationals bats.
Yeah,
we're going to see we're going to maybe cheap Braves bats. Even, but would you have to assume that you're probably playing, like, we have the Houston lineup that just came out. I think it came out while we were talking. Because Tucker is batting seventh, and he's 4,500. Obviously, if he was higher up in the order, I mean, he would be an obvious play. Okay, so Altuve has gotten his spot back in the top of the order, but Reddick is now batting fourth.
Wow, Reddick fourth. I mean,
we also have something called a Taylor Jones batting eighth.
The Astros lineup just has so many holes in it. Like they're just not as good as I think people want them to be, but like they're good hitters. Obviously you love, there's no Toro today who I was really kind of hoping to play.
Toro's gone from second base, third base discussion.
Yeah.
So that's going to condense. If we go over here now to DraftKings and we go back to second base, like, does that make, I mean, we have Garrett Hampson at 4,700. But, I mean, I think the cash play is more like Tommy La Stella at 3,800 to to replace him.
I mean, I would think Luis Garcia is probably going to wind up being super. He was like 50% owned in cash last night. And tonight there's nothing at the position. So 2,300 for him, hitting sixth. We mentioned the cheap Nationals are going to be pretty chalky. I think he's definitely one of those guys that will be in a lot of cash lineups.
Right. And Toro was 3,600. So like, if you just go over to La Stella, that's a $200 difference. But if you go down to Garcia, obviously now you have more money to spend. But he would have been one of the popular Astros bats. But we have to assume that the chalk is like Springer, Tucker, Reddick, then Story and Arenado for the Rockies. We talked about Luis Garcia, Adam Eaton at 3,000 for the Nationals.
John Gomes, probably. Guys like that, I think, are going to be super chalky.
Okay. We also have Tim LeCastro leading off for the Diamondbacks at 2,200. I don't think he's necessary. In the same way that I don't think Victor Robles batting ninth for the Nationals is necessarily necessary in cash bills. Those would be the types of players that you'd play if you're trying to jam in like Colin DeGrom together. But yeah. How about someone like Kevin Crone batting eighth for 2,000? These Diamondbacks, Cardi, are like, they're priced at, they're at Costco with Dean.
They really are. I mean, I'm looking at the bats stacks page right now. They are the top point per dollar ceiling stack on the slate. It's like them and the Nationals, like 1-2. There's a lot of cheap bats in this Arizona lineup.
But those would be the lineups that you don't play Dunning in.
Right. So you're saying you'd play like, Cole DeGrom and then play like an off the board, like whatever it's called, Diamondback stack. And then some expensive bats around them, like whatever fits, or how are you constructing?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'd be looking for. And I don't even have to play like Cole DeGrom together. I could do something like Cole Lynn, play a five-man Diamondback stack, and still have Trevor Story in my lineup, and still have George Springer in my lineup, or something like that. Because the Diamondback stack, you could, with LeCastro at 2-2, Kelly at 2-9, Crone at 2,000, I mean, you could get a stack Diamondbacks back for like 13,000, 14,000.
So explain to me why you wouldn't go with the two expensive pitchers there. Because once you have that Diamondback stack, that's all the leverage you need. Are you saying you need that extra $1,000 savings going down to Lynn? Or you think, like, explain that decision to me.
Well, it's more of the fact of how many points do I expect to get out of pitchers versus the variance that I could get from a batter. So, for instance, if I go Cole DeGrom, I think I'm safe. If they put up 20 points each, like, that's great. But, I mean, in order for – then the stack needs to score 10 runs on an 11-game slate. Like, when I play cheap stacks, the reason I do is because point per dollar-wise, the Diamondback stack may only need to put up 6 or 7 runs to pay off. But if it only puts up 6 to 7 runs, I need, like, 60 points out of my pitchers to play the double stud. But if I play a Springer store, if I play guys that could double dong, it can, like, the variance that I'm increasing my variance for GPPs by doing that. And if one of the studs fail or just only puts up 18, well, if I play Lance Lynn instead of Cole or something like that, that $1,800 could have paid up for, you know, a 23 point George Springer or a Trout or something like that. So I don't have to rely on both studs. Like, I could choose one or the other. And if one of them puts up 40 points, great. But, I mean, in order for it to work, they either both have to put up 40 or the stack has to put up 10-plus runs. And it's not like I'm expecting the Diamondbacks to put up 10 runs on Lizardo. It's just that when you play vomit stacks, you just don't – like Coors, if you play Astros or Rockies and it's a 6-4 game, you lost if you stack them. Like, there's no way. When you stack the Tigers, when you stack the garbage teams, they put up 6 runs and you're sitting there going, okay, if my one-offs and pitchers do well, I could win a GPP.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing that a lot of people miss about these vomit stacks, because people hear, oh, you're going to stack Arizona tonight. You're going to stack Pittsburgh. Like, what are you thinking? It's like, you don't need them to put up 15 runs. They're cheap enough where they don't have to do that. And, you know, yeah, maybe, you know, their odds of even getting 6 runs are not great. But it's high enough where if you play them over the long term, these plays are going to work out and the stuff around them is going to, you know, make it all work.
right? That's why I like new in the bat this year is the top stacks based on point per dollar. This is different from Slate IQ. This is just the bat projections. I'm even reloaded because every 5 minutes reloads. And you could just sort it by point per dollar and see the ceiling point per dollar. This is a vomit stack detector. So I look at it and I go, okay, the Nationals, they're cheap enough. You know, I look at the Diamondbacks. They're cheap. This is how I see. So, I mean, I can go through lineup HQ with the bat projections and go team by team and see this information. But on just one page with the bat, I'm just like, okay, who are my vomit stacks? Oh, look, Nationals, Diamondbacks, Tigers, I guess. I mean, I'm just looking through some that could be. I mean, I have to go to the individual batters to see how, you know, how the positions and prices worked out. But, I mean, I could just in one-stop shop go like, wow, the Angels are projecting pretty well today. And then I could look into it a little bit more, right? The Tigers, I mean, the Tigers would be leverage against, you know, a kind of chalky Dunning in a way. But are there any other stacks other than Coors? Do we have to talk about Coors? Coors is great. They're the chalk.
People know to play Coors. Coors is great. You know, play Story, play Springer, play Altuve, play, you know, Tucker, play Bregman, play whoever you want from Coors. Not whoever you want. Play the good guys from Coors in your cash games and in GPPs. I guess before we move on from Coors, in GPPs, are you going to have any Coors today or any Coors stacks, or are they just going to be one-offs around your vomit stacks, or like how are you?
Yeah. I'm more likely, like if I take a look now on the screen, let's see, let's go to Houston, Colorado. We don't have a Colorado lineup. Like I'm going to look like position, like I'm more likely to play one-offs in scarce positions versus in abundant positions, because I could find a home run in the outfield somewhere, right? So I'm less likely, like sorting by ownership, I'm less likely to play a Kyle Tucker one-off. I'm less likely to play a Springer one-off, but playing Trevor Story at shortstop, like, I don't mind. He's going to be the chalk shortstop, sure, but I'm surrounding it with a 4% owned stack, so, and then I don't have to play in a Diamondback stack. I don't have to play Nick Ahmed, right? I don't have to, you know, I look at it like the Nationals, on the other hand. If I stack the Nationals, I probably want to do it with Trey Turner. But maybe I could play Nolan Arenado at third base so I don't play Asdrubal Cabrera. And I could play Cabrera at first base anyway. So I really, that's what I'm looking at. So like Correa, I'm more likely to play Bregman. But like the guys like Reddick or Gurriel at 5,800 at first base, Maldonado at catcher, I'll just fill a catcher in my stack. I don't need a $5,100 catcher batting ninth.
So what about full Coors stacks? Because that's a sexy thing. That's a thing people want to do. Are you doing any full Coors stacks today?
I'm not even sure if I've ever played full Coors stacks in the history of DFS.
Okay. I just wanted to like just kind of get that out there so people kind of understand like the whole thing of how to approach, you know, a slate like this, because people want to play Coors, but playing Coors is not necessarily the way to win a GPP.
It could be the way to win a small field GPP. If it goes off, the problem comes in is like, let's take a look at this ownership. Okay. Let's take a look at the Houston stack ownership that we currently have. So if you're going to play the top owned guys, cause we don't have Taylor Jones in here yet. So look, you got 21% Springer, 17% Bregman, Reddick is 12%, Tucker's 22, Correa is 18, a 5-man stack of that, like 15, a good 10, 12% of the lineups in the entire GPP are going to be that stack. So if that stack does well, great. You came in the top 88th percentile for a 3x payout. It's going to depend on the rest of your lineup. But if the Astro stack fails, I've essentially eliminated 12% of lineups from even the just. I don't even have to compete against them. They're done. Yes, is the Astro stack more likely to do well? Yeah, of course, but I'm looking to win first place. And we can take a look at the Colorado stack. Story and Arenado and Hampson, I mean, that combination is going to be in like just 15% of lineups. So like if Coors ends up as a 5-3 game, like you have 10 other games to choose from. So like by not playing Coors, it's not that I think Coors is going to be a 1-0 game. It's going to be, I don't think the stack pays off. But maybe there's one or two guys that put up a 20-plus point score, and I could build around them.
That makes sense. Do you think the Angels are going to be popular tonight. The ownership rates in lineup HQ are a little higher than I was expecting. Like the bat is higher, quite a bit higher than Vegas on the Angels tonight. One of the better point per dollar and one of the better raw point stacks in the bat tonight. So I'm really intrigued by the Angels, but I'm curious where people are going to land on them. Because I think
the hamster wheel, Jimeno's hamster wheel, got a little out of control. I mean, Trout's going to get some ownership. I'm expecting Listella's going to come up because Toro's gone. So Listella will probably be up in like 14-15% range. But Trout will – what will end up happening is people will look at Mike Trout at 6,100 and go, why aren't I playing a Coors bat instead? Same for Ohtani at 4,100. It's like just it ends up in a range where why aren't you playing a Coors bat instead? And, you know, Cueto has been better this year, but it's not like I'm afraid of him. And
he really hasn't even been that much better. Like you
look just, he hasn't been horrible. I mean, we've seen him where he's just horrible.
Like his peripherals are bad. Like I think Cueto is very bad. I think this park is a lot more hitter friendly than we thought it was going to be coming into this year because of the way the wind is interacting with it and everything. And I think Ohtani especially is like severely underpriced at 4.1K. Like I think he's one of my favorite one-offs today.
I have him marked.
What's
my,
that?
My GPP plays. Ohtani, 41. I've been playing. You can play him lefty on lefty, and he's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I think people have – I mean, he's been bad this year, you know, bad on the surface. And I think people are seeing that, and they're afraid to play him. And they saw that he got hurt on the pitching side, and they're like, is he right? Can I play Ohtani? The answer is yes, you can play Ohtani. Like, you look under the hood, everything he's doing is exactly the same as it's been in previous years. The only thing that's different is a really low BABIP. But his strikeouts are the same. His walks are the same. All of the Statcast numbers basically across the board are the same. Same launch angle, same exit velocities, better in some cases. So I have no issues with Ohtani, and 4-1 is such a cheap price.
And also, if this order comes out the way it is, the Angels are much easier to stack than they normally are.
Yeah.
If Upton doesn't play, we got Fletcher at shortstop. Listella could fill a second base spot. Ohtani could fill a first base spot. You have Rendon at third base and Trout it out. You have two outfield spots if you want. Of course, you could play a Brian Goodwin or a Joe Adele. Max Stassi's cheap at catcher. I just think there's a lot more versatility with an Angels stack today based on their lineup than there would normally be when they play a lot of outfielders. But I want to talk about, I think, the second best game on the slate. It's the weather game. We have the Nationals against the Braves. The Nationals are underpriced, which, I mean, some of their hitters are going to be chalky because of that.
Yeah, sure.
I think the Braves are still a little underpriced because Markakis is out, so we have Duvall, 3,700 batting cleanoff, Riley at 3,400 batting fifth, Camargo, like other than like Freeman, like no one's expensive. And we have this matchup of Fetty versus Wright. One thing... Just a tip. If you're going to choose a stack, obviously you look at projections. So, I mean, I have no problem. It's built into the projections. I'm more likely to stack. What a lot of people get wrong is that they try to stack against contact pitchers. So, like the Zach Davies or the Brett Andersons, the guys that don't strike anyone out, but they also don't walk anyone. They just let you basically pitch the contact, get BABIP on their side, ground balls, weak fly balls. I try not to stack against them because it relies on BABIP for the stack to go off. I stack against pitchers that walk batters because they're putting runners on base. So I'm getting a lot more opportunity for more points the more my batters get up. And Fetty and Wright, I think on this slate, they have the worst K to walk ratio of like any pitcher on the slate.
That's interesting that you say that because I see so many fantasy players a lot of times be like, I don't want to play these hitters against or I don't want my hitters to walk. They'll say like, oh, man, he walked that at bat. That's such a waste. Like they don't want that because 2 points isn't enough, especially from a GPP mindset where you want the home runs and stuff. So you like the walks because you like.
No. You're getting it wrong. You have the wrong mindset. Let's take a look at this Nationals lineup. Okay. If Trey Turner walks, that's a potential steal, right?
Right.
Now, when Eaton comes up, if he gets a single, that's not just 3 points. That scores Turner. So he gets two extra points, and you get the 2 points from Turner for scoring that run. Walks are good for stacks. They're not good for one-offs, but they're great for stacks. If if Wright is walking six guys today, like every inning, there'll be people on base for Soto to hit a three-run home run instead of a solo shot, or Carter Kaiboom to hit, you know, a two-run double instead of just a double. And then you're getting the runs and the RBIs on top of it. So, like, walks are great for stacks. They're horrible for one-offs because, I mean, you're getting 2 points, whatever. It's better than nothing. But that's why, like, when you stack against the guy that never walks anyone and just gives up hits, just gives up contact, you know, like the Rick Porcellos, right? 12 hits, 4 runs. But it's like the hits don't amount to anything unless they're home runs. But if you're constantly walking people, like, just like I'm getting 5 at-bats from nearly all my hitters automatically because of it.
Makes sense.
Is that something you haven't heard?
Just my impression of how people view DFS, they just hate the walks. So, I mean, that I could be totally off on that, but I don't hear a lot of people talk about it like that, but it makes sense. I mean, I like walks, obviously. They go into the projections, and so, I mean, I think it makes total sense.
Right, it helps with correlation. So that's why looking at Wright and Fetty, like with guys that have high walk rates, and the I mean, obviously the Nationals are going to be popular. I think the Braves will be decently popular. I think it'll be a little bit higher on than what we have here. But and I think that the weather may scare some people off. And I think it's the second best hitting environment on the slate. Is there a better hitting environment outside of Coors on the slate other than Atlanta?
The Twins game's a little hotter and it doesn't have the wind blowing in that the Braves do. But I mean, I think those are the only games over 80 degrees.
So let's take a look at Minnesota. No one's playing them. They don't project all that well against Anderson. Is there a reason for that? I mean, he's a lefty that doesn't strike. I mean, it doesn't really strike anyone out, but like I said, he also doesn't really walk that many people. He's a light throwing lefty, like Nelson Cruz, lefty masher.
Oh no, Blender, not you too.
I had to throw it in, right? You play Nelson Cruz today with Wilmer Flores and James McCann if he's in the lineup. Just play all the lefty mashers you can because that's obviously a thing. But the Twins, if the Twins put up 10 runs, would anyone be shocked they did? Other than they don't project very – I mean, from a ceiling perspective, like the bat doesn't like the Twins today. But I think their ceiling is just as high as any other team.
Yeah, I think they're fine. I can't really speak to why it doesn't love them, but you know, I think they're fine.
Let's talk a little bit about FanDuel. I know we're very DraftKings centric, at least with me, because I play mostly on DraftKings. Talk about chalky plays on FanDuel in comparison to DraftKings. Because while someone like Luis Garcia at second base on DraftKings may be owned a lot at 2,300, or you may get Kyle Tucker a little bit more at 4,500, it's a little bit different on FanDuel. I still think Kyle Tucker will still be owned at 3,300 on FanDuel, but like Tommy's La Stella is 2,300.
Yeah, a lot easier to play him on FanDuel. Josh Reddick, who's hitting cleanup, you know, in Coors, is way too expensive on DraftKings, but he's pretty cheap on FanDuel. Adam Duvall is really cheap on FanDuel. I would imagine he's going to be very chalky.
Like Ryan Braun. I mean, like, I don't think you play, like, the difference is, like, Kevin Crone, $2,000 on DraftKings is like 50% of the average player salary, but $2,000 on FanDuel isn't.
Yeah.
Because the delta between the max, min and max. So, like, I don't care about Kevin Crone on FanDuel. Like, I don't care necessarily about the cheapies. And, like, Eaton, like, he's okay on FanDuel at 2,600, but at 3,000 on DraftKings, he's significantly underpriced compared to the average batter's now.
Yes.
So any other FanDuel batters that you're looking at cash-wise?
I mean, those are kind of the guys, you know, that stick out to me that aren't necessarily, like, strong cash plays on DraftKings. It's like Duvall, Reddick. You mentioned Braun. I think he's a strong play on FanDuel. Jordan Luplow, you know, maybe. He's pretty cheap on DraftKings, too, but he's 2-1 on FanDuel. Against a pretty bad lefty, so I think he's fine. I mean, FanDuel, though, like, their pricing is so soft. It's very easy to get a full Astros stack and, you know, Trevor Story or something crazy like that, or Trey Turner in your FanDuel lineups with DeGrom or Cole. Like, you can just do that because that's how their pricing is.
But that makes it for GPPs even more so, where you can get leverage.
Yes.
If that fails, it's quite easy. And do you have any concerns about Luplo in general, that the pinch hit platoon risk? Obviously, he's very home run dependent. So, I think I'm less likely to prioritize him in a cash build versus GPPs. But, I mean, I don't even think – see, the thing is that on FanDuel, I don't even think you have to use him.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy who in the past has been pinch hit for a lot. This year, definitely not as much. So, I mean, I don't think that's as much of a concern as it has been in previous years. But, you know, I mean, he'd kind of just be like a filler guy. You know, a filler guy to save some money and get other stuff. But for cash, I think he's fine.
Right, we have people in the chat and the YouTube. If you're in the YouTube, hit the thumbs up button. It keeps my water cold. It keeps Derek Carty's hair fresh or something. It does something. hit the thumbs up. Subscribe to the channel. If you have any questions, feel free to type them in the YouTube chat for the last 5 minutes of the show. You see, I don't like going position by position because it really depends on your lineup construction, how you're building. I just want to highlight the most owned median cash type of plays. I think Toro would have been super chalk at 3,600 if he was in the lineup. But we do have a Chris Owings sighting. Well, how much is Chris Owings?
Ooh, that's interesting. We got a Rockies lineup now.
Yeah, we have a Rockies lineup. Chris Owings is 4,600.
That's probably too expensive now.
Right. But we got Kemp. Is Kemp cheap?
Kemp is probably not cheap enough.
4,000, so not horrible.
So not bad.
But I mean, on the Coors, in the Coors game, the Astros are going to be much higher owned than the Rockies. If you wanted to play, see, this is what I mean by thinking in terms of the overall lineup. If you wanted to play a Rocky stack with Story and Arenado, you could still do so and still not be that high owned. You could play Tapia. You could play Kemp. You could play Butera in your lineup. You could play, you don't have to play Hampson. You could pay up for Blackman. There's a way, even in those stacks, to get different. Because, even in the Houston lineup, let's say instead of playing Gurriel, you play Taylor Jones. He's probably a computer-generated player. I don't know who he is, but he's 3,700. You play him. You overpay for Maldonado or something. You don't play Springer. You don't play Bregman. There's a way to get around, still playing, because Gurriel will be lower owned at 5,800. So just because, when we talk about that's the chalk stack and, don't play that in GPP, well, there's a way around. There's a way that Altuve fails in the stack and the five man is at the bottom of the order. You never really know. It's not something that I do as often, but if you wanted to get different, you could do it that way. I'm more likely GPPs today to play these guys as one-offs and not as a stack at all. But at least the Rockies, I can understand that you can play them and it's still be fine at these ownership levels.
One guy that we haven't mentioned, because people do love, as much as you don't love it, people love the picks. People love who to play.
Who cares about pick? Here's a pick. Here's my picks. There you go. There's my picks.
But one guy I see you have listed as a GBP guy that the bat loves is Trent Grisham, and I think he's going to fly under the radar. I think he's a great one-off in cash. I think he's great for GPPs. He's 3.1K. He's against Lance Lynn, so people aren't going to want to play him against Lance Lynn. But he's cheap enough. He hits low in the order. Lynn has a very wide platoon split. He's got the platoon advantage. So I think Grisham is a really strong option today as a way to save money and afford other stuff.
Yeah, I have him as a GPP. I don't think I would stack the Padres against Lynn, but Grissom leading off against Lynn, I have no problem. The lefties against Lynn, no problem whatsoever. So here are my GPP plays. People are asking for my stacks. Arizona is the vomit stack of the day. Anything in the Atlanta Washington game, I'm fine with. Even if they have rain problems, the Angels, even with Trout in the stack. Because people are going to play the Astros, the Coors bats. So, why not? I'm not into the leverage stacks today. You could make a case to playing the Tigers against Dunning, if Dunning's going to be chalky. But, I'm not playing. I could just fade Paddock. I don't have to play the Rangers against him. Right. Just fading him and just playing another stack would be fine. But if you wanted super leverage, sure, you could do that. And I'm not in the business of stacking against aces. So I know it's super leverage to stack against the Grummer Cole. It's an 11-game slate. If it's a 5-game slate, maybe I consider that. But Donnie Watson wants to know, Cardi, is Altuve broken?
I don't know if Altuve is broken. I mean, it's so early in the year to start calling guys broken, and I'd have to look.
A third of the year is done. A third of the season is done.
Yeah, a third of the season's done. It's been 3 weeks, not even. Like, I'm not overly concerned about Altuve. I would probably lean towards builds with Luis Garcia tonight, maybe. Although I'm not going to tell you you're wrong to play Altuve either. I think it's fine either way.
But Altuve is like 6,100.
Yeah.
If you think he's broken, you're not going to pay 6,100 for him.
No, definitely not. I don't think he's broken. I don't like calling players broken after a couple, a couple down weeks or whatever. That's I think that's overly reactionary type thinking.
But that's what people. That's what DFS players do.
Oh,
but that's how we take advantage of them.
Yeah.
Tyler Chatwood had two good starts and then got killed.
And he was chalk when he got killed. Like how? Like that was one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Recency bias. They take advantage of it. So to wrap up the show, we got 1 minute left. Just a review from the proprietor of the bat, Derek Cardi, who would be your top. You do the picks. I'm not doing the picks. You do the picks on DraftKings and FanDuel, who stand out as the top plays overall.
All right. Your SP1 is going to be Cole or DeGrom. On both sites, play one of those guys. Your SP2 on DraftKings, I think it's Dunning. I'm not going to tell you you're wrong if you play Paddock, but I prefer the savings on Dunning. Play a bunch of Astros bats. Think about playing Story, Arenado, and Coors, and then fill in with some cheaper guys, cheaper nationals. Yan Gomes, Luis Garcia, Adam Eaton, Victor Robles, whoever you want. That's kind of, I think, your core build tonight, in cash games at least.
Right, and FanDuel, it's play whoever you want because you could fit anyone you want.
FanDuel, spend up on whoever you want, really. Throw LaStella, throw Duvall, throw Braun into the mix on FanDuel.
Okay, so this is my first time, I think, hosting Grinders Live. I think, did I do a good enough job for Dean? I did. The people in the, yeah, no, the chat loves Dean. So I'm never going to win them over. They say that I scream too much. Obviously, they don't mind that in the morning. Someone said they didn't mind it in the morning because people are waking up and I'm like their alarm clock. So it's okay to yell at them.
Blender's yelling because he's passionate and he wants you guys to win. He doesn't want you guys to be stuck.
No, I don't want you to win.
He wants to.
I want you to learn.
Yeah.
I want to win. Like if I had a choice, it would be me winning and you coming in underneath every one of my lineups. Because even if you come in second, I probably have multiple lineups and I want to come in second, third, fourth. Like that's what I want.
You got to trick people into learning though, Blender. If you say you want them to win, they're going to be a lot more receptive than if you say you want them to learn.
I don't want to lie to the people. I'm not in the business of lying to people, but you could find me in the Discord on RotoGrinders. If you're a premium member, in the back chat with Derek Cardi every day in there, dropping the knowledge. Coming up for premium members, crunch time with Roth, Cheese, SDL cards. I have a way to get out of crunch time. Typically I flip people off for the premium members, but I guess that has been the flagship show, Grinders Live on rotogrinders.com.